Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program is Jade Williams. I do want to share, I think many of our listeners are aware that we have had cases of measles in the state of Iowa. I want to share what Iowans should know about measles. Initial symptoms, which may occur 7 to 21 days post-exposure, would include high fever, possibly cough, red eyes, runny nose, small bluish spots surrounded by kind of a red background that might occur on the inside of the cheek. The rash is 3 to 5 days after fever onset. You could see a red blotchy rash that begins on the face at the hairline and progresses downward and outward towards the hands and feet. Think about if you've traveled. Have you traveled anywhere in the last 21 days where measles cases have been reported? Have you been in contact with someone who has measles? So the best way to prevent measles is to get vaccinated. And if you're wondering if you have been vaccinated, it's the MMR vaccination. And if you think that you may have measles, we do encourage people to call their healthcare provider and tell them the symptoms that you're having. Also, you should not be in a waiting room. You would want to get a mask so that you would not expose other people. We encourage people to stay home until they do have a chance to see their healthcare provider. If you have questions, again, you can contact your primary care provider or contact Hamilton County Public Health. And lastly, I want to mention I've shared this program on the last couple of weeks. It's called Better Choices, Better Health. And this is a chronic disease self-management program. It is a free, interactive 6-week workshop that will have weekly sessions that are held for 2.5 hours. Each workshop is led by 2 certified program instructors, and it really is designed to help people gain confidence, learn skills to better manage chronic disease, stay active, and take charge of their lives. So they'll be learning about healthy eating and exercise tips, how to evaluate treatment options, how to create action plans, and should be a terrific workshop. It is going to be Thursdays beginning July 10th and run through August 14th. This group will meet in the mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 12 o'clock noon. The meetings will be held in the hospital conference room at Van Deest Medical Center. There will be healthy snacks provided. There is a limited number of participants per program, and this isn't just a one-time deal. There will be future workshops offered. If you have questions or would like to get registered for this free program, contact Amy McCullough, who is a registered nurse, also health coach, and our diabetic educator. Her phone number is 515-832-7730. And with that, we are going to get started into part 2 of our program with Jade Williams. So we were talking about lifestyle modifications, and this could involve meal prepping and what really is best to eat when you're looking at foods. It could involve a weight loss program. We're kind of covering the gambit here. Good morning, Jade. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Lori.
Great to have you back for part 2. We were talking about lifestyle modifications. So we mentioned meal prepping, weight loss opportunities, talking about just healthy eating, and a great place to start. People may be wondering kind of what they can expect at that first appointment. If they've listened to the program, know that they're having some symptoms, maybe just need some help and want to schedule an appointment, how would we direct them?
So you can make an appointment by calling our clinic and speaking with our registration staff. You know, what you're coming to see me for tends to be a little more unique and doesn't necessarily fit into the typical reasons to come to the doctor, but you can just let the staff know that you're wanting to schedule an appointment with me for a general health evaluation or a wellness evaluation, and we'll know what you're talking about.
Perfect. Because I think a lot of times people maybe do get hung up on, well, I don't know. I would like to see Jade, and I'm not sure because I've got a lot of things that I want to talk to her about. And that's what I'm hoping to make the appointment for and be seen for. So once they make the appointment, they come in. What could they expect at that first appointment?
So the best thing to know, I guess, would that if you come make an appointment with me, you don't have to feel like you're taking me on as your primary provider. I'm not asking that you necessarily break up with your primary, but I like to work with your primary. So, you know, once you come, if you could at least let us know who you typically see for your healthcare needs, and then we can discuss if you would like for me to follow up with them or share my recommendations or my plan with your primary provider. It's just nice so then everybody is able to work cohesively together and we can help manage not only your traditional medical needs, but also your wellness needs as well.
Are there some things that you would like to know or have them bring with them for that first appointment?
Yeah, it would be great if you could bring even the most recent note, or some people now have access to the portal and so they're able to access their health information. But, you know, if you have any chronic conditions that you've been diagnosed with, any specialists that you've seen in the past, as well as any current medications or supplements that you might be taking, that would be a great place to start, and then we can work from there. What would you expect if you're coming in to see a provider? Well, typically what I tell my patients is if you're going to come and see me and your goal is to kind of discuss these different lifestyle modifications and what would be the best option for you, we need to plan for at least 45 to 60 minutes for an appointment, because we're going to need to delve into a multitude of different things, but also kind of figure out what would be a good lab panel to obtain on you for a baseline before we move forward with a specific plan of care for you. So typically during the initial consult, I'm going to obtain, you know, your medical history, if you've had any previous weight loss attempts, what comorbidities do you have, you know, so do you have a history of hypertension, diabetes, heart failure, have you ever had any issues with your like gynecological history, especially if you're female, and then taking a look at your current medications, what maybe you have trialed in the past, if you have tried some type of weight loss program, and then what would be your family history, specifically if you want to delve down, you know, is there a history of any thyroid issues, as well as what about your obesity history and any other metabolic disorders? And then what does your habits look like? What are you typically eating in a day? What are your stressors? And then also what's your sleep patterns? What's your alcohol use? If you're a female, how is your menstrual cycle? When was your last one? You know, we get down into the nitty gritty. And I think that's appropriate because you are trying to figure out what does your lifestyle look like and how can we best meet your goals. Typically there'll be a physical exam and we'll take a look at all those good metrics and then have an honest conversation about what are your goals and your expectations. So defining like a realistic weight loss, and then depending on what is desired. So, you know, what do you see in your mind and then what can we do to maybe get you there, or what changes would that take to get to that type of goal for you? And then lifestyle and personal preferences. You know, sometimes it's really difficult, especially if you have small children or you're very active in your children and you're traveling and doing all those things. Sometimes these modifications that we can make can be a little more cumbersome because you might not necessarily have all the tools you need all the time to meet those goals. And then what would be a long-term maintenance plan for you? You know, Mayo has recommended that if you are utilizing these certain types of medications, like the GLP-1s, for example, that once you've met your goal, say, of weight loss, and you've incorporated all these positive lifestyle modifications, then realistically, you may have to stay on the medication for the rest of your life. Just not necessarily at the therapeutic dose, but you may have to stay on that medication. And that's something, it's not just a 3-month prescription or 6-month prescription, and then you come off of it and that's it. They also said that it is safe to continue on phentermine, which is something that is probably, I feel like that's fairly new, because typically that was something that was prescribed in short increments, and then the patient would come off of that type of medication. But Mayo is recommending now, if it's something that they've become accustomed to, maybe had the sufficed weight loss or met their goals, then phentermine as well is something that they can stay on for long term. Under the medical supervision, of course, and same thing for the GLP-1s. So necessary labs, you know, it's a real robust panel. When I have a patient come in, you know, I prep them and tell them that I don't want them to become overwhelmed, but there's going to be several vials of blood that will be obtained today, because we're looking at a multitude of different things, and that's typically going to be your metabolic and endocrine labs. Some hormonal levels will also be checked, and then thinking about just your, like, you know, a complete blood cell count. And then we're going to go into like your CMP, which would include like your liver studies, your renal function and your electrolytes, probably a lipid panel. Your hemoglobin A1C, you do your thyroid studies, may even check some vitamin levels. Unfortunately, in the state of Iowa, we're very low in vitamin D, and this one can also provide a multitude of issues if it's deficient, so taking a look at that. Your B12 and folate, and then, of course, iron studies, especially for women, is always a really good one. Some extra ones that we may throw in there would be like a magnesium level, your fasting insulin, and then also a histamine level. Sometimes I like to check a cortisol. You can do an AM or a PM or both. And then DHEAS. And sometimes I will do a total testosterone as well. The biggest thing is that the cortisol AM and the testosterone have to be checked before 10 a.m. in the morning to get the most appropriate. And the cortisol, I actually like to be obtained as close to your waking as possible, the cortisol AM. I typically don't check female hormones. That's something that requires a real finesse, a real eye to, because they fluctuate so drastically throughout the month for females. But if that's something that a patient's interested in, I'll generally refer them out to the clinic of their choice, so that they're able to have an astute eye look at those levels to help determine if or what would need to happen from that point on, or how those levels are impacting the patient. And then, you know, looking forward from there, realistically, what does the patient, you know, need after that? So after we've had the appointment, then we'll get the lab work back. And sometimes those are send outs, and so they might not be back for a couple days. And then I usually like to have you come back into the clinic so that we can actually go over your lab results, what those mean, and what are different changes. If it's something, you know, real basic that's off, then I, you know, sometimes I'll have just my nurse call and follow up and give my recommendation when I'd like to see them back again. But for the most part, most of the lab work is going to require another conversation so that we can really identify what would be appropriate regarding medication management, and also just developing a robust plan of care. I also usually recommend that the patient has what's called an in-body, or that they have some type of smart scale, so they can determine what their like bone density is, where their fat mass is at, just those various different types of metrics so that we have a good idea before you get started. So it gives you nice concrete evidence. Okay, here's where we're at. Here's where we are in 4 weeks, that type of thing. We also talk extensively about those basic lifestyle modifications, like I had mentioned earlier, where you look at, you know, what's your calorie consumption on a daily basis? How are you getting that? Are you meeting your protein goals? And then, of course, activity and kind of where we're at with that. Just so we can make sure that you are treating your body as healthy as possible to meet the goals. Because really, we're talking about maybe trying to meet a short-term goal, but the long-term benefit from that is what, you know, ultimately, I think everybody's interested in.
Very good. Jade, why is it so important that we're looking at vitamin D levels in our patients?
So vitamin D3 specifically is what I'm typically interested in, but living in middle America, we don't have sunshine necessarily year round like some of our other counterparts in the United States or other countries. And so the best way to obtain the vitamin D is through sunshine, but you might not necessarily be able to obtain that on a regular basis. So the guidelines recommend if it's a cloudy day, at least 20 minutes of outside exposure to the sunlight. If it's a sunshiny day, 10 minutes is about all you really need to obtain the necessary vitamin D activation. So the benefits of the D3 specifically is going to be, of course, we talk a lot about this, but it refers to your bone health. But other things that vitamin D3 can help with is your cardiovascular health, as well as your immune function, blood sugar regulation, mood and mental health, as well as your muscle function and skin health. And the biggest thing for the bone health is, why is it so important? But it helps you absorb calcium. So those two work synergistically together, and you really can't be doing one without the other. And then in regards to the cardiovascular health, it helps decrease inflammation, and then, like I said, also supports your immune system and your immune function. So if you come and have your vitamin D3 checked, you know, base, like bare bones would be around a 30. You know, and unfortunately, like I said, living in Iowa, we tend to get a lot of really low vitamin D levels. And that's okay. We can supplement with that. And there might be some additional supplements that, depending on what range you fall in, that you may be or may be suggested to take in conjunction with that vitamin D3. But if your body isn't responding to the supplement, then you may require a referral to endocrinology, because it can actually be more of a issue with your endocrine system that may need further management as well.
Jade, if you would, let's talk a little bit more about DHEA.
So DHEA is a hormone that is primarily produced by the adrenal glands. It's not really something that we probably think or talk a lot about, but it's actually a precursor to your male and female sex hormones. So those androgens and estrogens specifically. And the level just helps provide us some insight into your adrenal function, your hormone balances, and other certain medical conditions as well. So this one I think is always interesting, especially because those little adrenal glands, we aren't really 100% sure, you know, how do you know if they're healthy, or how do you know if you're in an adrenal crisis? Well, this is one of the good ones that you can check for that. And then there's going to be various levels based off of your age that we would be looking for to identify if you're in that therapeutic range or not. That goes for male and females. But why, you know, what would be the things that we would be concerned about? So if the level comes back and it's elevated or above your normal range for your age and sex, then for females, we'd be concerned that you may have what we would call polycystic ovarian syndrome, potentially some type of hyperplasia or an enlargement of your adrenal glands, or, you know, some other concerning health issues. So that's always something, you know, to think about. If that level comes back, that would be something you'd want to follow up with your primary provider about. And then if it's a low, so if it comes back subtherapeutic from your recommended range, be concerned, you know, about adrenal insufficiency. So one of those things could be Addison's disease. Aging, of course, your levels naturally decline over time, but there's different ways that we can measure your age. So you have your chronological age, you can have your metabolic age. So this is kind of nice to see, do you fit into where your age is supposed to be, but also identifies that type of overall metabolic health that you're really interested in. And then is there an issue maybe with your pituitary gland, or are you dealing with some type of chronic illness or even malnutrition that can cause your levels to come back low? So a little side note, something I tend to think about, especially for women, we need a higher amount of fat to help support our hormone function as well. So that's something I like to know. How much fat are you consuming in a typical day, so that we can kind of see if that's something that we could easily manipulate to help provide you a little bit better of hormonal support.
So if I could ask, you mentioned the low levels and the high levels of DHEA. Are there symptoms? Would a person experience symptoms if, say, those levels were high or low?
So honestly, it would probably be your more traditional ones where you're just like, oh, I feel really tired. Mm. Or since it's specifically your adrenal glands, you might have what we would call like that crash in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So if you're experiencing a lot of like that 2 o'clock crash, some of that is part of your rhythm that goes on in your body as we process through the day. But if you're finding you're needing to consume higher doses of caffeine, or you're just having real difficulty maybe with mental clarity as the day goes on, or like, you know, that brain fog, or even issues where you get into a real dip and then you try and go to sleep at night, but you're just kind of really wide awake, that would be a good reason to come and have your levels checked. Or if you're having issues that would maybe be more assimilated to what we would see with somebody with PCOS, you know, for our female population, that would be something to think about as well. So if you're a woman and you're developing more of facial acne, or you're tending to gain weight maybe, and it might be specifically around your midsection, issues with your hair thinning, just different things like that, those could also be a reason to have it checked and evaluated.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
You know, there are hormone replacement therapy options. I don't necessarily get into all of that specifically because it would definitely depend on what those levels, I guess, come back at. But, you know, there's options such as estrogen and progesterone replacement therapy for females, as well as testosterone. But estrogen replacement is really a case-by-case basis. Same thing with the testosterone. But estrogen, you really have to delve in. Is there a family history of estrogen-specific cancers? You know, then typically that's not going to be an option for the patient. But it's definitely hard because that's also so out there right now in the media, talking about estrogen replacement therapy and things like that. So other things that can be supplemented would be like your DHEA, and then, of course, managing if you have a thyroid condition, you could look at it as well. And then the benefits of, or if you would qualify for like testosterone replacement as well. But overall, you know, the effect of the weight loss is going to be multifaceted, and it really needs to be combined with a behavioral approach, medical and hormone strategies, and then a thorough medical workup and labs help to tailor the safest, most effective plan. And then any type of hormone replacement therapy, whether you're talking estrogen, progesterone, or testosterone, should really be only considered when clearly indicated and under a professional supervision. So, yeah.
It's a lot of information, and it can be so overwhelming. But some things that really stuck out to me that you mentioned, Jade, I too listened to a podcast recently, and this doctor was talking about the four pillars for health, and he mentioned food, movement, sleep, and relaxation. And you know, you addressed all of those as you were talking through this conversation. And you know, I think that is something that can resonate with people because it simplifies it. You know, we get so lost in, as you say, we're inundated, you know, on the TV and social media with medications of weight loss and this, and immediately, you know, people want to go to that, but we can just simplify that process and what is really needed here. And what's important is that that does take time. And so if people, you know, have these goals and they're just not really sure, first step, you know, schedule an appointment and make sure that you're taking that time to really go through everything that is going on with your life with your primary care provider.
Right. I mean, the basic thing is even if your sleep is not good, then all this other stuff is futile. Unfortunately, you know, that's the worst part. So much happens during your sleep. And if you don't get good night's sleep, then your body's not really taking care of itself necessarily. And so you're just going to keep pushing it and pushing it. And unfortunately, it's going to make it even harder to hit those goals that you have. So a lot of times it really is like nailing down. Okay, well, your goal is, yes, maybe to lose 10 pounds, but how are you sleeping at night? What are you eating? How many energy drinks? What's your caffeine intake? I mean, all of that really plays into it. You know, and I can speak from my own self, you know, over the last 4 years. It's very much, and sometimes it's the most basic thing, and we don't necessarily realize that it's really just something as simple as maybe getting those 7 hours of sleep, which is difficult when you have little kids or you have, you know, all these responsibilities that just kind of pile up or snowball essentially. So it really is kind of, it's just prioritizing yourself, you know, and unfortunately as humans, we're not super great at that. You know, we don't really see how talking about our sleep or going to the doctor is maybe making us a necessary priority because there's not anything wrong. You know, sometimes that's how we tend to look at it. Well, I'm not sick, so I don't need to go to the doctor. But we're here for so much more than just when you have a sore throat or, you know, a runny nose or a cough or whatever. We're here for all of it. That's really the plan. So
it's so true. And society has us programmed to seek medical care when we're sick. But we're talking about a prevention strategy. And to your point, yes, it may start as a short-term goal, but what we're looking to do is a lifestyle modification so that can become your routine every day and carry you through a long, healthy life.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, great information shared, so much. And I want to share with listeners, Jade just brings jewels of information and shares them. If you have further questions, want to schedule an appointment, she is available at Van Deest Family Health Clinic here in Webster City. And very easy, you can call to schedule an appointment. The number is 515-832-7800. Or it is so easy, you can go online to schedule your appointment. And you just go to our website, vandeestmc.org, and schedule online. There's a button right at the top of the homepage, and you can see Jade's schedule, first availability, and it's very convenient. So I encourage people to check it out. Jade, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thanks again.
Good stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Always welcome to come back.
Thanks.
That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.